TIC Productions presents India's premier Bollywood podcast. You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host Aditya and this week's movie is Secret Superstar, and our guest with us is also a superstar who would like to be secret if she had her way, but unfortunately we cannot do that. Uttara, say hi.
Hi.
So yes, we just watched Secret Superstar. Pretty packed theater actually.
Yeah, it was, surprisingly. For once I was taken for a good movie this time. Yeah, it had good reviews. That's why we decided to go watch it, and well, it was worth it.
It's one of those movies where I didn't really know what to expect, because obviously it has Aamir Khan's backing, so you expect it to be good. But it wasn't really clear from the trailer what his role was going to be. And for the most part, actually, he took a backseat. The main part of the story is about Zaira Wasim's character, but her performance is really good. And it's really powerful. And actually, the movie was more about the bond between her and her mother and how that whole dynamic plays.
Yeah, I think it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it. Even though it was long, it was around 2.5 hours. It didn't feel like it, which is always a good sign when you're sitting in a movie. I think they touched upon a lot of interesting aspects about family dynamics. And yeah, just generally about growing up, which I think are quite important.
Yeah, and the thing that Aamir Khan movies do really well is they manage to find that right balance between masala entertainment, but also being really meaningful and having a clear story and a clear plot and touching on some social issues as well along the way. So, I mean, the premise is fairly simple in that Zaira Wasim's character, whose name is Insia, is a really talented singer and she wants to be a singer, but she lives in a family which is, and her father specifically, is very conservative. And so he does not encourage all of these things. But her mother is the one who somehow or the other manages to get her a guitar and encourage her to play music and all of this stuff. And one of the other things her mother does is give her a laptop. And she decides to record a video and upload it on YouTube. And I like that because it's a very kind of new world, 21st century kind of phenomenon, like where, you know, you have some movies which talk about YouTube and Facebook as just like random things they just insert there, whereas here it actually had a point to play in the story, which I thought was nice. Obviously some things are a little, some details are very convenient and like left out, but I also thought that was nice because once she puts up a video and it goes viral, she lives in a small town in Baroda, and so she doesn't actually realize how viral it's gone. Like after a few hours later, she checks and she sees like the views have gone to like 11,000 or something. And then it goes into like the millions. And then suddenly she sees a headline in a newspaper, which just talks about, you know, Secret Superstar takes this thing by storm. And she has completely no idea about it because she's not exposed to that world at all. Like she's not constantly on social media, constantly on different forms of the internet. So I thought that was quite nice, the way that whole thing unfolds.
And not only that, but I think it was nice, I mean, that they showed that she found a way to do what she wanted to do, despite having certain boundaries and barriers. So once you see, if you watch the trailer as well, you see that she covers herself, so that sends the name Secret Superstar. And I think it was nice that she still wanted to follow dreams, and at that age, she's only 15, I think, in the movie, that the trailer has that age. That she wanted to do something and she put in the effort and found a way and did it, which was, it's quite inspiring.
Yeah, and there is a clear undertone of feminism and women's rights throughout the movie, mostly shown through the relationship that her and her mother have with her father, who is played by Raj Arun. And basically, her father is an abusive husband. With the kids, he actually doesn't go into that level, but he really mistreats the mother. And he's in some ways a very typical, you know, Bollywood villain. It's not a new character that we're seeing, but unfortunately it's also just the reality of how many men are and how, you know, they are brought up to treat women in a certain way. And yes, I mean, in the movie she happens to be Muslim, but I think it's true even of regardless of faith or anything else. And what was interesting in the dynamic is that Zahra Wasim is the one who's actually kind of standing up and telling her mom, you should leave our father because he's a bad person. And she's the one who keeps pushing her, saying, let's do this. Whereas her mother is obviously played by Meher Vij, who was also very good. She's kind of trying to keep things together and stay within this kind of construct that society puts on. So I thought the way they showed that was also very nice. And even though in many ways, like, it's a subject that has been covered by many movies, the way they showed it was still different and fresh in a way. So that was one thing that was good. Obviously, you have to talk about Aamir Khan in this movie.
So, okay, he was a really funny character, and it was nice to have some comic relief in the movie, because otherwise the movie was quite serious. But he played a small character, but played it very well. He was funny, and yeah, I really, really liked his character. He made me laugh a lot in the movie.
The thing about Aamir Khan, he perfectly captures all the, like, caricaturish elements of Bollywood. The way he speaks, where he's like, chal beta, very good beta, congratulations. And he keeps calling Zahra Wasim babes. And at the start, initially, the way we're introduced to his character is through them watching news about him on TV, where he's like a judge on a reality show and he yells at a kid saying, you have no talent, and things like that. He comes across as being very exaggerated, very over the top, which I initially kind of threw me off, because I was like, okay, this is unnecessary. It's just, you know, everything else in the movie is so realistic and portrayed so nicely. This is a bit going to the extreme. But once he's actually introduced in person, he is still caricaturish and over the top, but he, in a way that's very believable and very kind of strangely authentic, because he's just imbibed, you know, having seen and heard stories about certain people in Bollywood. He's just imbibed those characteristics that he's observed and put it all together in one character, and it's hilarious. There's also a lot of really funny moments between him and his ex-wife's lawyer, who has won the case against him for divorce. And there's one phone call especially where, and you know, the reason he gets divorced is he's having affairs. And there's one phone call where he has to call his wife's lawyer, and he's just like, hates the fact that he has to do it for Zahra Wasim. And he calls and he says, "Zaruri baat hai, ek ladki ke baare mein, ek bachchi ke baare mein." And then she obviously asks how old, and he's like, "Bas chota, choti hai, 15 saal." And then there's like a pause, and where clearly she thinks that he's involved with her or he's got her pregnant or something. And he just loses his mind and he yells at her over the phone. It's really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And actually, what I liked a lot about the movie, I mean, it was expected because it's all about her trying to become a singer, was the fact that they used an unconventional passion, if you like. I mean, a lot of, to date as well, a lot of educated people would say that, oh, don't go into music or art and things like that because, well, it doesn't secure a future for you. It's so difficult. There's so many other people who are just as talented. It's like a cutthroat competition, you know, that sort of thing. But it was nice that they picked something like that in the end. Obviously, yeah, she did do really well, which is part of the movie. But yeah, I thought that was really nice as well. And also the music. It was at the end of the day about her singing. So, but the music was really good as well. The songs were nice and catchy. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, I think from the music wise, Main Kaun Hoon was probably the best song. It's the one that's gotten the most attention. It's in the trailer and everything. There is a hilarious post-credit song called, what is it? Sexy Baliye.
Yeah.
That video is actually hilarious when it comes post-credits, but it's funnier in the context of after you've seen the movie than if you just watch it on YouTube. What's even more hilarious is, When there's a sequence in the movie where Zahra Wasim comes to Bombay to record a song for Aamir Khan, and obviously her YouTube songs are very slow, soulful songs, And Aamir Khan tries to make her sing this, like, you know, crazy sexed up party song. And this is that song. And there's a sequence where he's trying to tell her how to sing it. And she's trying to sing it. And it's brilliant. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. In general, obviously now there are some of the downsides of this movie. Like I mentioned, some things are very convenient, especially in the second half. And it is a little, you know, emotionally manipulative in some ways. Like, some things happen just to make you cry, for lack of a better thing. Like, there are a lot of speeches and long monologues which just are there to, you know, like, it wasn't necessary for it to be there. Like, the movie would have still been powerful and impactful, but this is just, like, to add that extra one level of, to make sure, like, you have no option but to, like, surrender your emotions.
I don't think so, actually. I think it was there for the purpose to just get people to maybe relate more as well. Like, this was a way to get people to
relate. I mean, for example, like, the whole, like, she sings a song, it happens. Sorry, spoiler alert for any listeners. But she sang a song and all of a sudden it got nominated for the award, like, a month later or, like, 2 weeks later. That's, like, not realistic. Then at the award ceremony, that whole speech, and then even, there's a lot of repetition, basically, like, it, which I think was not needed.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was fine. Yeah, all movies are unrealistic to a certain extent. And this was also one of them. But no, I don't think it was over the top. I mean, they were going to have a happy ending to the story.
No, the happy ending is fine. But the way it all gets orchestrated is, like, very filmy.
But there are people in the real world, especially singers who will upload something on YouTube or just, like, go on any show like Indian Idol or anything, and then they become famous, and that's their start to their career.
Yeah, that's the premise. I'm saying that all that is fine. I'm saying the actual sequence of events as it happens and how things unfold and the manner in which they unfold is very filmy. Like, right at the airport, she puts the guitar and then it's the one thing that's overweight. There's no such thing as you can only carry 10 items of luggage. That doesn't, like, you know, it wouldn't actually happen. Like, certain things just happen or are made to happen in a certain way to get that response in that way. That's all I mean in terms of it being manipulative in certain ways. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a very good movie, obviously, with a very strong asset. Yeah, any other thoughts on this movie?
No, that's about it. I mean, I thought it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it and I recommend other people to go watch it.
Yeah, one other thing we also didn't mention is, in general, all of the cast and supporting cast were amazing. There's another really important character who is Zaira Wasim's boyfriend / pseudo love interest, who's Tirth Sharma, who's Chintan, his name in the movie. He's also a really funny character, and he's just really, you know, he just brings a smile to your face when he comes on screen. So that was nice. There are a lot of these small moments and small things. There are too many to get into in detail, which just made this film overall really good, fun to watch. It is a bit long, like Uttara said, but other than that, it's definitely, I think, a must-watch. I think, given, like, 2017 in general has been a pretty average, below-par year for Bollywood, this is probably one of the best movies I've seen in the year. I'm struggling to think of a better movie, actually. Like, Newton, maybe, but that's a very different type of movie, which has a very niche audience. In terms of a more mainstream movie, even a movie like Hindi Medium, which did really well and is probably a similar, can be compared to this in a way in terms of the scale and budget and stuff, I think this is miles better than Hindi Medium. I thought Hindi Medium was a bit overrated, to be honest.
What about the movies from Mami?
So I unfortunately only ended up managing to see one film, which is a film called Zoo by Shlok Sharma, who is one of Anurag Kashyap's proteges, I guess you would call. The film was actually, I thought, okay. I mean, it was one of those films which is, like, I felt was just pretentious for the sake of being pretentious. Like, there were a lot of things happening. There were multiple storylines. There were multiple just random sequences which came and went without any real meaning. I felt like it's one of those things which is, like, where you're trying to be artistic, but there's no real endpoint to it. At least I didn't see an endpoint to it. And there's nothing really happens in the whole movie. It's just a bunch of, it's like one of, it's like four different people's lives who are somehow somewhat connected, but not entirely connected. And it's just these four parallel storylines. I thought the movie was quite average, to be honest. The one interesting thing about it is that it is, I believe, the first movie to be shot on an iPhone, entirely on an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
Which I found interesting. And honestly, you can't really... There's not a considerable difference. I think there are a couple of shots where, you know, things are moving very fast. Like there's one sequence where he's showing a football match, these kids playing in a football ground. And things like there, obviously, the camera is moving like really fast. Over there, you can kind of tell like, okay, this is like things, it's like really blurred. It's like in places it's blurry. You can tell this is shot on a quote unquote inferior camera, like not a professional camera. But apart from that, it feels and looks very slick, very as though it would be shot on any, whatever, any DSLR or whatever films are shot on. So I think that is a big, pretty big achievement or change in terms of how easy it is to make movies now on small budgets. Like you, when you have a something like an iPhone or even any other smartphone, like the cameras quality on these phones now are so high. You can actually make a pretty high quality film in terms of production value on a phone without having to invest in a big camera and equipment and all of that. Now, obviously, you need others more than you need more than just a camera to make a good film. But that's one major hurdle, I think, that could see a shift in how films are made and how content is made generally, not just films, but digital content is made. And if these phone companies are smart, they should actually get onto that and figure out ways and masterclasses. Why are you laughing?
No. If phone companies are smart.
No, it's true. I mean, like, honestly, like, I told my mom that, oh, I saw this film and it was shot entirely on an iPhone. And then she was like, the first thing she said was, oh, I'm sure iPhone must have sponsored the film. I was like, no, they didn't. But, like, they really should have, because it would be such a big deal for them. Like, it's such a good marketing thing for them to say, entire film shot on an iPhone.
Well, that's what their marketing thing is. Shot on the iPhone, all the photos that they have on billboards.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but that is their campaign. But yeah. Someone else actually went and made a movie entirely on an iPhone.
Yeah.
There's no reason why Apple shouldn't have commissioned that and said, hey, here's an iPhone, go make a film. Like what Facebook is doing now. Facebook is making shows and programming on their own. Like, if I was a device maker like Apple or whoever, Xiaomi, Samsung, get a bunch of talented young filmmakers who have some success and get them to make a film. Like, it's the best and most effective marketing and investment that you can get to prove your camera as well.
That's true.
So, unfortunately, the film itself, I don't think, lived up to expectations. But overall, in terms of Mami, the event itself, I think from what I've seen and heard, it was one of the most smoothly run festivals of recent times. Everything was really easy in terms of booking. Demand seemed high because there was, for all the Indian films especially, there were obviously time restraints and other things which prevented me from watching films. But a couple of other films I did want to watch, primarily one being Ajji by Devashish Mukhija. That was like these, all the main Indian films would be booked out within like 3 or 4 minutes of your ticketing window opening. So the way it worked is you could book tickets starting from 8 a.m. the previous day. And I logged in at 8:15 and it was sold out. And I didn't repeat the same mistake for Zoo. And even that sold out within 5 minutes. But Ajji is one film that was really good. That from what I heard. Another film I heard good things about was Omerta, which was the closing film, which has Rajkumar Rao in it. Opening film was, of course, Mukkabaz, Anurag Kashyap's film, which will be in theater soon, so should still get to catch that. Juze is another film that I heard good things about. It's a Northeastern film. But yeah, overall, I think fairly, very smoothly run festival. Lots of interesting films. I don't know if we will get another Trapped or a Newton or a Lipstick Under My Burqa, but definitely a lot of promise there. Maybe Omerta or Ajji might become one of those ones. So that was my Mami roundup. I was actually planning to do a full episode on Mami covering these different films, but just couldn't find the time. might do it as a later thing. Apart from Secret Superstar, Golmaal again was the other film that released this weekend and has just shattered all box office records for the year. Took the highest opening by a large distance, apart from Bahubali, which is a separate category on its own. But it's made some 60 crores in the first 2 days itself. Is going to become the highest grosser of the year. Clearly, there is still an appetite for movies based on WhatsApp jokes.
I find it so hard to believe that so many people went to watch this movie.
The thing is, though, it's weird. And I mean, I again, Judwa didn't get the time to do a podcast, but I didn't manage to watch the movie myself, but a lot of my friends watched it. And a lot of people who went to watch Judwa were families, like promoted as like family entertainment. And that is deeply troubling because in anticipation of watching Judwa 2, I rewatched the first Judwa. And it is the most insanely sexist thing I've seen in years. And I can't believe that this movie was acceptable in 1997 and was a hit. Even if I accept that
now, in 2017, for that same movie to basically just be remade without any of the really problematic things being taken out, and for it to still be a hit and for families to go in and accept it, shows really why India is so behind when it comes to women's rights and where you still have these this backward mentality in terms of what is sexist and what isn't and what is and why you still have cases of harassment and all of this, because literally Varun Dhawan in that movie just harasses women and nobody seems to have a problem with it. So I found that pretty shocking. And of course, he has a problem when his sister or his wife gets harassed, but if he's doing it to some other woman on the street, it doesn't matter. Anyway, slightly went off track there. But despite of, yes, you've had content-driven films do well, but so your largest grossing film of the year is going to be Golmaal, followed by Judwa 2. And you also have films like Badrinath Ki Dulhania, which did really well, and Mubarakah, which did really well. So, yeah, clearly there is still a long way to go before that kind of cinema disappears. But yeah, Golmaal. My biggest problem with Golmaal, having not seen the movie, is the fact that they took Neen Churai Meri and remade it and absolutely butchered it. It's a song that is very personal to me and to my friends. Don't laugh, it's true. You know it's true, since you know the people I'm talking about as well.
The song is very close to his heart, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And has very strong memories.
Yeah. So that is a, yeah, I'm going to boycott Golmaal. No, I'm not really going to boycott it, but if I don't end up watching it, I'm going to say I've boycotted Golmaal for that reason. Yeah, so there was that. And then we have a bunch of trailers to discuss. So let's go one by one. Ittefaq. Uttara basically jumped in fear at the first 10 seconds of Ittefaq because Siddharth Malhotra grabs Sonakshi Sinha from behind in a non-sexual way. To clarify, after my Judwa 2 comments, like I wanted to be clear that this is in a much more scary crime murder type of way. So what did you think of that?
Okay, so first I thought it was a scary movie from the way they started off the trailer, and then he just pops out of nowhere and like grabs her from behind. But then as the trailer started to go on, then obviously started to realize it's a murder mystery movie. It actually looks quite interesting. Again, I don't know how the movie itself would be, but from the trailer, it looks good. It seems to be that there are two murders, and each of them are a suspect for each of the murders. And yeah, but it looks quite interesting. I mean, maybe I would watch it. I don't know if it's not so scary.
Yeah, so it's a remake of the 1969 film Ittefaq by B.R. Chopra, directed by B.R. Chopra's grandson, of course, because nepotism rocks. Produced by Red Chillies Dharma. It's basically the same. It's a remake, but it's told slightly differently. In that, whereas the previous film was just a kind of, there's one narrative and one clear storyline. Over here, there are two narratives because each of them has like a different style. So it's kind of like, of course, I mean, this is a common technique used in many films, but, so both of them have two different sides, and Akshay Khanna is the person in the middle who's trying to figure out what is what.
yeah, I was quite excited by the trailer. I haven't seen the original film, of course, but this one looks really good. And yes, Siddharth Malhotra is not the best actor, but that is made up for by Akshay Khanna's presence, because I think he's great. He was the only good thing about Dishoom, which I watched last year, and I was sad that his talent was wasted in that film. I am hopeful that it may not be wasted here. So that looks promising. The next trailer we saw was Tumhari Sulu featuring Vidya Balan. The trailer was actually much worse than what I know the film to be. So as someone who has not, who doesn't know what the film is about, what were your thoughts on the trailer?
I found it to be really confusing because I think the first three quarters of the trailer were about her and how she wins free stuff and she seems to be this carefree person who has like a family and they're all happy and things, and then all of a sudden it becomes the, I think I assume her husband, like, saying that you don't have time for anybody else. So I couldn't really understand what was going on because it just didn't make sense. It wasn't in a chronological order. I didn't understand.
Yeah, I felt the trailer was very poorly cut, but the story is actually fairly straightforward in that Vidya Balan is, as you mentioned, a happy-go-lucky, carefree person who just takes part in all these contests and stuff because she's bored at home and she ends up winning a bunch of stuff. And one day she wins a contest at a radio show and she goes to the station and she sees a thing to become an RJ. And so she decides to become an RJ and she somehow worms her way into becoming an RJ just through her persistence and enthusiasm. And the film is basically about her journey and how, as a housewife and as a working woman, how she has to juggle those two roles. How she has to, once she starts becoming an RJ, she has to juggle the fact that she has a responsibility and family and stuff at home versus now this suddenly this new job that she's got. So very reminiscent of English Finglish, actually. But yeah, in that trailer, it just didn't come across. Because in between, they have this random romantic track between her and her husband, which gets a lot of screen time and doesn't really go anywhere. So yeah, not the best trailer. But I'm actually quite hopeful that that film might be interesting and worth watching. Okay, then the last two trailers we have are two small films, both releasing on November 10th, if I'm not wrong. Shaadi Mein Zaroor Aana, featuring Rajkumar Rao, man of the moment in Bollywood. And Kareeb Kareeb Single, featuring Irfan Khan. What were your thoughts?
Again, I found the trailer to be really confusing.
Which one? Shaadi Mein Zaroor Aana?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, again, what it seemed to me was that the daughter, the parents wanted the daughter to get married, so they arranged a meeting with some man, and she met him, and then she really liked him. He seemed to be the perfect guy. So, yeah, they got together, they met often, they both really liked each other, and they ended up getting married. As soon as they got married, then it seemed that he changed and became a different person.
What? That's the exact opposite of what I got. Basically, what I got from the trailer is that they meet and they fall in love and everything. And then right when they're about to get married, like, she does something to betray him. That's why at the later on, she's like super apologetic. And she's like, I understand, like, why you're naraaz hai, like, why you're upset at me. And he's like, I'm not upset at you, I just hate you. So I think she does something, basically, and betrays him. I actually was quite excited by that trailer, partly because just Rajkumar Rao is just so fun to watch and interesting to watch. And yeah, it's like the first part of the trailer is actually fairly straightforward. It's just a typical small town love story, but then that twist at the end actually makes it interesting. So I thought, oh, okay, this is, I want to watch this. This might be slightly more than just your typical Bareilly Ki Barfi or Happy Bhag Jayegi or whatever. It reminded me of that movie, actually, Happy Bhag Jayegi. So Kareeb Kareeb Single, I didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah, same.
It's just very random. Just Irfan Khan being weird. which is, it's true. I don't know why you're laughing.
But that's the first thing you thought of when you saw the trailer.
Yeah, because that is all that trailer is, just Irfan Khan dressed really weirdly, saying weird things, doing weird things. Just really weird. So
It just didn't make sense. It just seemed that it was like, this shot here, let's just put this here, let's just put here, this put this here, and done.
Yeah. Whoever the actress is also not very good at acting. So, yeah. Just that is not a film I'm excited to watch at all.
Yeah.
I feel like the... I mean, based on the YouTube description, it's supposed to be the two of them go on a trip to meet their previous loves or relationships or something. Which I feel like has an interesting premise. But somehow the way it's done. Also, Kareeb Kareeb Single, the word single is spelled with two L's. That is immediately a red flag for me. So, just, yeah, not excited about that. Okay, that is it for this episode of Bollywood Weekly. Thank you, Uttara, for being here.
You're welcome.
And we will see you again soon.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.